Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello, this is Deborah Frances White and you're listening to The Guilty Feminist. This is the second part of our 100th episode special recorded at the London Palladium with Guardian Live. The second half of the show began with a performance of Suffragedon, our work-in-progress musical about the fight for votes for women. On the night, this lasted about 25 minutes, but we're going to include only about 10 minutes here. Don't worry, you'll be able to hear more on the exclusive EP, which will be out soon. Later in the show, you'll hear from Kima Bob, Felicity Ward, Laura Bates, Leila Hussein, Sindhu V, and Ali McGregor. Enjoy.
Emmeline, settle down. Your intensity is tremendous. Careful how you let it out. I'm scared that your energy is malevolent and sour. Be sensible. Remember, you're incredibly empowered.
It's unacceptable. Because as women, our rights are inaccessible. Our leaders and heroes are unelectable. The conditions we live in are such a terrible. It's terrible. It's an abomination.
Blatant government discrimination.
They push us out of every situation.
Without women, there will be no population. No population.
No population.
Ignore our intelligence and prevent us from exploring, developing. Our daughters are never taught more than orders and etiquette. They're just forced to conform for their benefit. Even told when we can and cannot speak.
Now.
No.
Now.
No.
Now.
No.
Now.
Yeah, go.
We could vote and we could choose, and choose in power.
You know these men are terrified that we'll devour them at work and in home and in parliament too.
The time is now.
We must fight. It's up to me and you.
We've got a lot.
A conversation with these men is such a waste of time. It'll take over an hour for them to understand these rhymes.
Let alone agree, progress, bring this to Congress.
Well, what do we do?
Put them under duress.
We have no say in making the law.
So, I'm okay with breaking them jaw.
But be patient, there's other ways to explore, to engage them and explain these discourse.
War is the only language that men listen to.
We don't have to act savage, we have linguistics to attack with courage and conviction. Passion in a manner that they'll have to listen.
That won't work if a male-dominated system.
What good is rebellion if it's never ending?
We're already under a sentence. I'd rather be a rebel than a slave.
A devil than a saint.
I'm gonna cause hell and definitely get some change.
What good is justice if we're handcuffed and punished, locked up and abandoned with nothing?
Go on then, try it your way. See how far you get.
Shit.
going off to Parliament to hear a load of shit.
Why is the sense of independence so threatening? You're dead set on preventing us from developing or bettering by any means. It's like you're scared of me. Our potential's not a potential vasectomy.
Two sixes sitting here together is preposterous. Think about this country. Think about the cost to us. Men will feel reserved, will filter their words, won't argue their concerns. This great nation must be preserved.
Preserve what? It's a nation, not a jam. It's toil, struggle. We're working for the man. We need women representatives and female executives. Why are you so tentative? This change won't be negative.
The mental equilibrium of the female mind is just not as stable as ours. We're more sane!
You're right. Calm, composed at all times. Make all the right decisions and commit no crimes. Put on your fancy hat, good sir, if it fits you. How absurd. But please do continue.
Most of you lack the desire, let alone the requirements. You should go home. Be quiet.
These are strange power relations we're engaged in, allowing you to maintain our enslavement. But we won't cower. These chains won't break us. We'll break the chains with grace and escape them.
Your physical nature proclaims your status. You've not got the brains, the brawns, or the patience.
Well, how were you born? Creation. Your mother brought you forth, and I'm sure it was painful.
Your room is in the House, not the House of Commons. You should be in jail, thrown away, forgotten.
Hold on, look. You see, the problem is, we're told that we're subordinates, but no, we're much more than that. You're so closed, ignoring facts. Please know, talking's not always talking back. You moan that you work harder than a lot of us, yet you all still go and march onto the ballot box. We can't depend on you for protection, so we stepped up to defend until the end. Suffragettes!
Suffragettes!
Will the Liberal Party give votes for women? 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 Will the Liberal Party give votes for women?
But still I lead our war. Every bone in my body aches and is oh so sore. This lion is hurt and wounded, but still ready to roar. If you don't hear us now, then prepare for what's in store. I had to play like men for them to notice me. Instead of hearing our message, they reduced and they broken me. They thought I'd go away, but this fueled the more outspoken me. And now I see it clear, eyes wide open, this is the woken me. I've lived through my own destructions, just like how it's supposed to be. So if you kill me now, be haunted by the ghost in me. And yeah, you humiliate me, but I don't feel humiliated because you can't eliminate me. You gotta change it. From our room in Manchester to the world, we must escape this. Everything they've thrown and dished out, I've used against them and switched round. Now I stand up, I don't sit down.
Our time for it, sacrifice for it, won't give in to it. Oh,
we're still in battle, because the war is not over. We don't celebrate, but we take a step closer. We're constantly provoked and look over our shoulder. But today, I'm not a victim. Today, I am a soldier. I'm not sorry for the harshness, for the loud bangs and the gory. For without these methods of action, we would have no glory. We made the sky stormy, but for the first time ever, women can write their own story. We protested with peace, and we protested with speech, and were beaten in the streets and hit hard by police. We were thrown into prison, and we were stripped of our clothes. We got thrown into prison, and we were stripped of our souls. So we starved until forced to eat, head back, chewed down your nose, and strapped to a seat, hoping it goes down the right hole and we don't die from disease. It was diabolical, horrific. It was torture on repeat. They put us through so much pain. We stuck ourselves to the railings and they came and cut all the chains. But the shackles around our feet and neck, they still remain. No more woman, call me by my name.
Our talk for it, sacrifice for it, won't give in to it.
I've been homeless, I've been sick, I've lost so many friends, I've been beaten, I've been hit, I've been driven round the bend. I even lost my son and couldn't be there at the end. But the power of my mind has led my heart to mend. I now know, without loss there is no gain. So focused and determined is how we shall remain. Hoping and praying one day for change. This is unacceptable. Say it with me again. We hurt. We are so many soldiers down. Emily literally threw herself in front of the king's horse and died on the ground. Hoping for one day that humanity will be found. We are women. Give us our crown.
Our talk for it. Sacrifice for it. Won't give in to it.
Thank you so much. That was Suffragettin. For our 100th anniversary of the Suffragette show, which we had a few months ago, I thought, I don't want to just invite women of colour on so they can explain how they were excluded, because that's actually exhausting. It's like, oh, and a black woman to go, yeah, we weren't really invited, and it was very difficult. And so I thought, well, what would happen if we put the narrative into the hands of women of colour and just said, come back with something, the same way that Hamilton is the story of America then told by America now. What if this is the history of British women then told by British women now? And we realised that the suffragettes, some of them were, let's be clear, quite racist. But they were, like, you know, let's be honest. Some of them weren't, and some of them were, and some of them, you know, subtle gradations. But their idea was bigger than their intentions. And their idea arrives on the stage with these women. By the way, never commission a musical. It's so expensive. Do not. I have no money left. No money left at all. But 100%, I honestly think this is a 100th episode of The Guilty Feminist here tonight. And I honestly think it's the best thing we've ever done. I really, really feel that. I would like to invite back onto the stage the composers and creators. So could we please have Roxanne, Omeros, Oracy, and Mark Hodge. So Omeros and Mark Hodge are composing the music, and these amazing hip-hop artists, obviously, you can see what they're doing. Collectively, this is an amazing creation, and the spirit of this group is incredible, everybody, actually. So last time, we asked for 8 minutes. They gave us 12. I would recommend, if you are going to hire anybody to do anything, hire women of colour. Genuinely, genuinely, you just go, oh, here's some opportunity and a small amount of money,
and we get it done.
They will come back with extraordinary things. Seriously, and I know women of colour are not a monolithic group, and I'm not trying to go, you know, like whitewash or angelise or anything of like that, but it is a fact that every time I've invited a woman of colour to do anything, they've come back with more than I've asked for. Omeros, you were the first person I met after Mark Hodge, who I met at university, so that doesn't count. Yeah.
Yep, you did.
And actually, I met Omeros through, you know, Steve Alley, who was on the stage before, Syrian chap who I lecture in my kitchen. He introduced me to Omeros because Omeros was a volunteer in the Calais jungle. And at the end, she was a volunteer firefighter in the Calais jungle. And so that's how I met Omeros, and I said, would you like to do this? And she said yes. So could you tell us a little bit about what's happened so far, and since we did the first 12-minute performance, and we said, could it be 20 next time?
Yes, thank you to everyone who contributed to the Kickstarter. That was really very, very helpful for us to get going again. So we got together again, all of us, the writers, myself and Mark first to begin with. We spent a couple of weeks researching in the library every day and then built what we would like to be a full musical. So we've done, like, first draft of what a two-hour show would be. And then we started to build this 20 minutes. And
it came in at, like, 27.
It's 25, it's probably 27. And we just basically chose some really interesting scenes from what we imagine a two-hour show to be, and then just started to write some cool music to it to try and combine some musical theatre and some hip-hop. And then Rox and Oracy came in and put down some amazing lyrics, and here we are.
And Rox and Oracy, how's this been, this development process for you, and where would you like it to go next?
It's been amazing. It's been amazing just working with all the girls as well. Everyone works really hard, even the guys as well, even though we're like...
even the guys.
Let's not forget the men. The men work well too, but it's just been amazing.
Listen, they're in the back row, they're fine. They're doing fine. They're doing great.
I agree. And we've got them in black, so they blend in. jokes. The men are lovely, but it's just been amazing working with everyone. It's been amazing working with everyone, and thank God we didn't have to do the research, no offence, but it's just been really...
We've been having
a lot of fun just playing with the flows and the lyrics, and it's just, for me, it's amazing, obviously, as a woman and a woman of colour, and playing Emmeline, who, especially hip-hop, is all about rebelling and going against, so to be Emmeline, who just wanted to go against and rebel, it's kind of like, I think she's my spirit animal, so it's just nice. I feel like we're connected. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you really make us feel that. We feel it when we watch you. And Oracy, how's this going for you?
Splendid, darling. It's lovely. yeah, it's been really enjoyable. Predominantly before this, I was just a hip... I shouldn't say just, but I was a strictly hip-hop artist. So this is a bit of a diversifying.
Mm. Oracy, you said last time you were at the Palladium, that was the first time you'd been to the theatre.
It was.
And is this the second time you've been to the theatre?
It's the second time, the first time I saw the Chuckle Brothers.
Oh.
So... yeah, but this is my third time, so yeah, I'm certified.
Are you now feeling...
yeah, these are my homies. I feel bonded now. They're nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mark, how's it been for you writing a musical about suffragettes with so many women?
Well, you and I met with so many women. I don't even notice. I don't even notice, Jenna. I don't. But I mean, seriously, Debbie did say to me when she was thinking about this, you know, this is a piece which is created and driven by women of colour. And she said to me, thank God you're gay.
I say it often, Mark. Thank God you're gay, or I couldn't stop myself. Hashtag consent. But you now have an agent collectively, and there's a development process in the works. Fingers crossed it works out with the theatre. There's an EP coming out. So you'll be able to have it on your iPod. As you go into meetings, you'll be able to be... I already do it with the version I've got. I worked hard for it. Sacrifice for it. Just 1 minute, women. Don't give in to it.
This is an actual true story. She's not exaggerating.
She does that on the way into meetings. She's not lying.
I do. Before we go into meetings, I'm like, I love it. I do think we need more feminist hip hop, because I do love a bit of hip hop sometimes to get in the mood. But I mean, fewer bitches and hoes. More, you know, get my shit together. You guys are incredible. Absolutely incredible. Thank you. I give you the wonderful Suffragetten. And now, put your hands together and make extraordinary guilty feminist high-fiving sounds for the phenomenal Kima Bob!
I was like, I need this thing to do whatever's gonna happen. Hey, guys. Oh, wow, it's so heavy. It's extending. Exciting times. Wow. You guys look really cool. You guys look like sexy but like intimidating, like hooking up with Edward Cullen, I imagine. I have imagined a lot. Yeah, cool audience. Any POC in the audience? Shout out. How are the white people here? Be honest with me. Let me know. It's cool. I'm gonna put you on the spot. I like to ask because when I travel, I want to know about like the public transport and the food options, and the white people. I need to know if I'm gonna be uncomfortable or not. Just kidding, I've been here for like a year, I'm like well familiar with the white people. You're right, you're much cooler than my old white people. I'm American, my old white people are so lame, the bar is so fucking low, I'm from Texas. Yeah, I escaped. Texas is weird. Like, whenever I tell people I'm from there, they'll be like, oh, isn't it so great? Like, why would you leave? And I'm just kind of like, Like, I'm very much a black woman. Very much a black woman. It's not my first choice of places to be. I sent myself to a private Christian university in the middle of Texas because I don't like freedom. That's what that was about. I sent myself to a place where I could not only not be myself, but never become myself. I don't know. I didn't know what I was doing there. It was so weird. Private Christian university, and I wasn't a private or public Christian. Like, what was I doing there? You guys, It was like the worst place to find out what sex was. Like, once I knew, I was like, oh shit, like, this is amazing. Like, why aren't we talking about it? Why aren't we having it? They weren't having it with me having it. I just wanted to have it. I was like, what? Grades? Fuck school. I'm gonna fuck the school. Like, what's up? So, fun times with judgment. So I found the best times. This was the worst place to come into queer feelings. The worst place. I didn't know what to do with them. I just saved them up. until about mid-March when it was spring break time. I was like, oh, we're gonna go down to Mexico, drink a little tequila, let go of our inhibitions. I'm like applying chapstick, playing a Katy Perry song, hoping, like I'm like, yeah, oh, this is cherry for sure. So sad, you guys. Like, oppression made me a predator. I was too strategic about it. So yeah, school occurred and whatnot, but I've left America behind. Potentially for good, you guys. I just got a visa! Ah! Yeah! Yes! Give me a cheer for immigration! Yeah! Yeah! Mm. Yeah, I chose Britain first, but that's not what that phrase usually means here, is it? So strange. So I've left my old white people behind, but I'm still attached to them via Facebook. And sometimes when I'm like on Facebook, like commenting on something or like talking about something that has to do with my experience, like a black woman, a woman of color, someone will comment and be like, as a woman, my experience is often erased and my voice is often silenced. I feel you, I get you. And I'm just kind of sitting there like, how am I gonna tell this bitch that I too am a woman? Like, don't forget my womanhood. Like, I'm very much a woman. This kind of feminism isn't inclusive. It's inconsiderate. It forgets that there are levels. It's called white feminism, but don't fret. White feminism. You can be Caucasian and a feminist and not be a white feminist. Hashtag not all white women. I'm here with you. I see you. All I'm saying is, before you come comparing apples to oranges or whatever the phrase is about comparing things that aren't the same, maybe just do a bit of listening first, because if you want to go to the Oppression Olympics with me, honey, I am a queer, mentally ill black woman, okay? I will be waving at you from the top of the podium, surrounded by a choir of my ancestors' ghosts, holding hands, singing, "We Shall Overcome." Good night, guys.
She's 24 and has not been doing stand-up that long and, like, can play the palladium. I hate her a little bit. I'm a feminist, but...
Hello, guilty feminists. This is Deborah Frances White, just letting you know that on Sunday, the 10th of June, 2018, there is going to be an enormous procession as a celebration for 100 years since the first British women got to vote. It will be in Belfast, it will be in Cardiff, it will be in Edinburgh, and it will be in London on Sunday the 10th of June. Women will be wearing purple, green and violet, and the details of this living piece of art are at processions.co.uk. Please go there to register. Also, I am doing a new television pilot for Channel 4 with Merman. This show is called Next Week's News, and it hopes to capture the same sort of combination of comedy and direct action that The Guilty Feminist has. It will be topical and it's very exciting. We have an all-female comedy writer's room and we very much hope it gets to air. If you would like to come and see the pilot and be in the studio audience, then please go to sroaudiences.com. It's this Wednesday night, June 6th. That's sroaudiences.com, this Tuesday night, June the 6th. Finally, there is a desperate need for tents in Calais at the moment. So if you would go to helprefugees.org and donate a tent and pop guilty feminist one word in the box at the end of the purchase, that would be just wonderful. You can buy one for £20 if you can possibly afford that. And if you can't, donate a pound or whatever you have. Thank you so much. And back to the podcast.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Please welcome to the stage Sindhu V, Laura Bates for Everyday Sexism, and Leila Hussein for the Dahlia Project. Hey.
Bearing in gifts.
Oh my God.
I come bearing in gifts.
Yes. Okay, well.
Can I explain first why we got these gifts? So I run the Dahlia Project, which is the counseling service for FGM survivors. Because I pissed off a few politicians, I was kind of blacklisted from getting some funding, and Sisterhood came and saved me, and Deborah was part of that team. And because of women like Deborah, we managed to get over £70,000 to run our clinic, and I just wanted to say thank you. And the team from Dahlia are also in the room. Please, a standing ovation.
I love you too. Thank you. Well, the rest of you can go. thank you so much. That's so lovely. Look, that is amazing. I remember saying to you, I reckon I can get 20. I know you need 50. I reckon I can get 20, which will leave it, we'll get it open to this stage. Yep. I don't want to take responsibility to 50 in case we can't do it. And we went out to the listeners, we got 70.
We got 70.
And it was absolutely
amazing.
The power
of sisterhood. I always say that.
That's absolutely the power of the sisterhood.
Some of our staff from Dahlia are actually in the room. Can you make some noise if you're in the room? No? Yay! There's only like two of us or three of us.
But. Yeah, and that's not me. I don't have £70,000. I spent it on Suffragetten. But I'm kidding. Look, they're not being paid that much. It's just expensive to do a musical. And thank you for Kickstartering that as well. But everybody just went, yeah, I'll put in for that. And what we did is what Becca was saying before, it's an easy ask. That was the first thing that made me think, oh, this podcast could be not just comedy. We could change the world a little bit.
And it did. And for me, it's, you know, we just wanted to acknowledge.
Thank you.
For such
thank you
great
so
platform.
Much.
Yeah.
Well, this is for everybody who donated, all of the listeners, all of the people. You're not getting any of it. And
afford.
I need to be clear about that. I am going to drink it myself, but I will think of you when I do. Yeah. Sindhu, yes, obviously. Get a straw. But so just to be clear, because we've got to do introductions, Sindhu V, you've met. Leila Hussein, Dahlia, and Laura Bates, Everyday Sexism. Just to be clear, Laura Bates doesn't do Everyday Sexism. She created the Everyday Sexism Project, which is totally, totally amazing. What we want to know is what you're doing now. So we raised that 70 grand, that kept it open. Is it still rolling?
It's still open, but obviously we're going to need more money because actually what we could do this time around, we had no restrictions. So we could run the support groups in our own way. And actually one of the things we started introducing in our counselling therapy sessions, we now run workshops before they start therapy to understand how mental health services actually work. So that's something that we could do. And actually, in that particular workshop, the women get to meet us, the admin team. They get to meet the person who's going to look after their kids. You know, remember, FGM is something, when it happens to you, you lose trust with people, especially with women. So we are a women's organization. So for us, before we say to them, hey, come for some therapy, we actually would like to build that relationship first. So it really meant a lot to us that we can, but obviously we need to raise more money.
Okay.
And
how much
I'm constantly continuing to piss off more politicians, so it's quite awkward. I feel really bad for our team. I always have to like go down with my head down going, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to say that about Theresa May. And
yeah. I didn't know you were blacklisted, and that would have been good information to have.
Yeah.
So I'm kidding. I wouldn't have changed anything. Yeah. But I didn't know that some politicians didn't like you. I mean, I can kind of imagine.
I tried to chase her with a vagina costume. What did you expect?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. That is true.
And
Laura Bates, tell us what's happening with everyday sexism. So just could you quickly give your elevator pitch for what everyday sexism is in case some people don't know?
Yeah. So in a nutshell, it was 2012 and I had a terrible week where I experienced a bunch of incidents very close together, started talking to other women and girls and hearing all of their stories pouring out. But many of them made a point of saying, until you asked me, I've never told anyone any of this. So I started trying to talk about sexism and people said, sexism doesn't exist anymore. There's no such thing as sexism. Women are equal now. And I didn't know much about it, so I looked into it and I found that fewer than a third of our MPs were female, around a fifth of the membership of the House of Lords, that women are 7 out of 38 Lord Justices of Appeal and 18 out of 108 High Court judges. The National Gallery had 2,300 works of art, but paintings by just 10 women. It had been over 14 years since a female choreographer had been commissioned to create a piece for the main stage at the Royal Opera House. There were 573 listed statues in the UK, 15% were of women. Two of them were of a named black woman. Women were a tenth of our engineers. The Royal Society never had a female president. Only 6% of its fellowship were women. 50% of chemistry undergraduates, but only 6% of professors. They only write a fifth of front page newspaper articles. 84% of those front page articles are about a male subject or expert. They're only a fifth of our architects. They get 28% of speaking roles in films, but they're three times more likely than men to have to take their clothes off. And then people were saying, you know, look elsewhere. There was this dog whistle racism. Look at the way women are treated elsewhere. And actually, in this country where people were saying there's no such thing as sexism anymore, and all of these facts were the case, there were three times more men named John running FTSE 100 companies than all the women in the UK put together. I then discovered that a quarter of women experience domestic violence, that a fifth of us experience a sexual offence, that there's a phone call to the police every minute about domestic violence, that 85,000 women are raped in the UK and 400,000 sexually assaulted every year, and that over two women a week are killed by a current or former partner.
And on that, Laura, just because the elevator has got to the top of the building,
sorry.
We've reached the penthouse. Can you talk to us about a new project you've got coming up that you would like help with?
Yes. So it works out that when you look at the statistics, the argument that sexism doesn't exist anymore doesn't really stand up to scrutiny. But it also means that we're constantly fighting against this idea that there isn't any problem. And I think the one thing I'd really love to highlight tonight, because not enough people know about this, it doesn't have enough attention, is that the government is currently saying that it wants to change the funding for short-term housing benefit. Now, this isn't a sexy kind of snappy thing, but what it means in a nutshell is that 39% of refuges in the UK will have to close their doors for good. It's the last sustainable form of funding that Women's Aid refugees and other refugees, specialist BME organisations that they rely on.
So if women have suffered domestic violence or they've had to run, basically be refugees from their own home, and then they're suddenly on the street, they go to a women's refuge,
right.
39%, and there's already been massive closing.
There's already cuts. They're already turning away hundreds of women a day, but this would mean 4,000 more women being turned away.
Okay.
And if we want to support Women's Aid in trying to fight back against this, you can go to their website. There's a petition hosted on 38 Degrees, and in the autumn, they are going, Women's Aid is going to present an alternative sustainable funding model. At that point, they need people to write to their MPs to get on this and say, we support this, please make this change.
Okay, so I'm going to say, let's do a show together about this.
Brilliant.
At House of Commons.
Brilliant.
How do we do that? Because if we go to their house and we make a sort of fun space in their house, they'll want to be at the fun space. Because I feel like if those MPs were here tonight, they'd be like, oh, we mustn't do that. So I think we should go to their house and take a party to their house.
Yes,
and we should call it the Commons House Party. And we should invite all the MPs, anyone of influence who's close to the MPs. Sindhu V, would you co-host this with me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Do you know anyone in the House of Commons who might let us in? Because I feel you've had a professional life in the past. Is there any door you can knock on?
I could probably wrestle something up.
Great, okay. Done. So you're in charge of finding an MP who'll let us in.
Great.
Super. Layla.
I will not come in my parrot outfit, Deborah. It's
okay.
Gonna happen.
Do you know anyone?
I know a few people.
We okay,
people.
Great. Do you know anyone?
Yeah.
Who do you think
we
will
know,
help?
We know peeps.
Right.
Can I just say, if I'm going to organize the person who's going to get us in and use my connections, can you please not come in a vagina suit? Because, I mean, no offense, I like vaginas.
Can I bring vagina cupcakes?
No, can we just maybe not have it so much on the nose? I mean, I have to keep these people sweet. I can't have vaginas appear. We'll have the party.
Okay.
You can say vagina a lot to lots of people. Just don't appear as one, because then it's kind of like they'll think this is not the party you told us, Sindhu, and I'll be like, yeah, I know.
Listen, it's called house party. It's called party. It's everyone loves a vagina at a party, Sindhu.
Well, yeah, but okay. But the kind of people that work at House of Commons,
sure.
They're
okay.
Not the kind that go to parties, dinner
all right.
Parties
okay.
With vaginas.
Listen, what we'll do is we'll do a discreet T-shirt. It'll have a hidden vagina that only we will know. It's one of those optical illusions. It's one of those, yeah.
Like a flower.
If you look at it this way, it looks like a flower. If you look at it this way, it looks like a yanny. And we'll do that. Okay, so we get, I reckon Stella Creasy, Jess Phillips, they've both been on the podcast before. We'll get them involved and we'll see if we can bring some influence and bring some change and keep the refuges open. Are we in?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sisterhood Power, let's do it.
Yeah.
Woo! Let's do it. Woo! Thank you so much. And please get behind these guys, these women, their websites, all of that stuff. A big round of applause to Sindhu V. Layla Hussein and Laura Bates. And now, the wonderful Felicity Ward!
I've got a phone in my underpants. I was just going to tuck it into my belt, and then I realised everything that I'm wearing is elasticised. And I ran out, I'm like, this is terrible, it's going down, it's getting colder on my butt cheek. Hello, how are you? Look at this gig, look at where we are, it's so exciting to be here. And it's such a beautiful building. I love the UK and I love their old buildings. You have so much respect for your buildings. Because like this building's probably older than Australian Federation. And I went into this Italian restaurant the other day and I just thought, look at what they've done, this building, it's so beautiful. And I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. It was called Pizza Express. Oh, you look after your buildings, they're so beautiful. Look, I'm going to say this. I don't know, I'm just so excited about being on such a big stage. I've only got 5 minutes, but I am going to be fucking 2 kilos lighter at the end of this. Fabulous. I could go down here too. I don't give a shit. Do you know, every time I go to sing like a cabaret song, the only, oh Jesus, all right. I'm getting my wind up. Every time I pretend to like try and think of a cabaret song, the only song I can ever think of is Mike Wazowski's from Monsters, Inc. That's all. She's out of our hands. That's it. What am I doing? Tell a joke. Shut up. I was on my way here, and I'm going to say it because no one else will. The wind is a creep. The wind is a sexist creep. If you knew a man that regularly blew your skirt up and, like, opened your bathroom door while you're having a shower and came out of your asshole, he would be in jail. I'm saying keep an eye on the wind. I've only got 5 minutes. Oh, I haven't pressed start. Oh, it starts now. I don't know. No, I've got. They're getting fined a lot of money right now. She's out of. Anyway, what can I tell you? So the theme is change. The theme is change. And this is not a local accent. I am Australian, I'm sorry. And it's just felt right, like the right political climate to apologise for being foreign recently. And very grateful to live and work in your country. Very grateful. At the same time, my mum's English, so you can't kick me out yet. Visa, visa. UKIP hate me. No, they don't. I'm kidding. I'm white. I am. I'm very white. And I came over here originally with the intention of leaving. Not straight away. I didn't get off the plane and go, I've made an expensive mistake here. No, I was going to come over here for 6 months and then I was going to go back to Australia, but then I met someone, I fell in love. Typical, I know, typical foreigner coming over here, stealing your knobs. And heterosexual, I was surprised too. And I went to drama school, I experimented. gender and sexuality is fluid. So I came over here and I really do love it over here. The thing that I just love the most, I just love Magic FM. God damn it, I love it, especially the late night show because it's just 3 hours of low energy sentimental music interrupted by a guy going, Like that's all he does for 3 hours, just Just at different intonations, enough to bring on a bowel movement. If you're backed up, pop on a little bit of Magic FM, mate. Just ease your way into the morning. That laugh wasn't a choice. Has anyone seen Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs too? You know, Ratbird? That is for 10 people in the audience. I watch a lot of children's animation. Anyway, I'm a child. I love Magic FM. I love that your obsession with putting puns in shop titles. Oh my God, I love it so much. I started collecting them since I moved over here. So there's two runners-up and a winner, right? The first runner-up is a pie shop. Now, if you had a pie shop, you could call it the Pie Hut. You could call it Pies R Us. But why would you bother when you could call it Pie Minister? Yes, please. Yes, please. Not the winners, just a runner-up. There's also a kebab shop called Abracababra. Yeah. Not the winner, just a runner-up. So the winner came in the form of a phone call. My friend knows that I do this, and he called me up and he said, are you sitting down? And I said, what is it? He said, I found it. I said, what is it? He said, it's a halal store. I said, what's it called? He said, it's called Halal Is It Meat You're Looking For. Lionel Richie and Islam together at last. Love is the meat you're looking for. So good. But now people know that I do this, so they send them to me. There was a woman sent one to me a little while back. There is an Indian restaurant called Papa Dom Preach. There is a bakery in Korea called Bread Pit. And there is a camera shop called One Day My Prince Will Come.
Love it.
I'm probably going to have to wind up, guys. I've got to get off the fucking stage. I don't want to, but I don't want to cost them money. Okay, I will leave you on this. I have spent 5 years over here now. I ended up marrying that dude. And, I've been in 3 long-distance relationships and they've all ended the last one in marriage. And we just couldn't do it anymore. So I travel a little bit around the country and I love going to Edinburgh. I love it. I just think it's one of the most beautiful cities in the entire world. And they say that Paris is the city of romance and I think they're wrong. I think it's Edinburgh because every time I go there, there's this bit of graffiti and it just says it on the wall and it just says, Stephen loves cock. And you just think it's like having rose petals thrown at your face, you know? Just like stepping over a candlelit dinner. Now, before I go, the reason I put my phone in my underpants is because I wanted to take a photo because I want my mother to be proud of me. And are we able to get the house lights up very, very quick? So, all right, I could take a photo of my own name. What a cunt. All right. I'm going to, don't worry. I make it as a joke, but I absolutely will be. I don't know why I'm counting, but 1, 2, 3... Also, you just did my favourite thing, which is making a noise in a photograph. This has no impact. I'm a method photographer, actually. Hey, you've been delicious. Have the best night. I'm Felicity Warbeck.
the show, and I just want to say, 2.5 years ago, we started this in a basement. I started it with Sophie Hagen, who sadly isn't with us. I have to acknowledge that we started this together, and it's amazing that it's grown to this. And thank you so much. I feel very moved. I feel a bit emotional that it's sort of so many people wanted to come with us when we said, we're not sure we're doing this right, but we'd like to do it a bit better. And that's really what The Guilty Feminist is. And we want to have fun while we're doing it. We want to create a space that's creative and inventive and isn't just standing against something, but standing for something. Now, this is technically the end of the show, but I was wandering around backstage and I bumped into Emma Thompson. And she said, this show is fantastic. She didn't say that, but I'm paraphrasing. I saw it in her eyes. But she said, you're not doing enough. There's all too many young people. And so I said, well, I said, put your hands together for the magnificent Emma Thompson.
It'll go to my head. I have to tell you that this, you see, the thing is, when I was 18, as my daughter is now and here with me, she dragged me because I normally listen to it. You see, I don't go to the theatre very much, don't go out very much because I'm so old and white. I'm an old white woman. And, you know, but I didn't have anywhere like this to go when I was 18. And it makes me... I was in that generation where people were saying, well, you can't be funny, and all my jokes were about herpes and Margaret Thatcher, which were very big at the time. And let me tell you, they did not go down very well at the top of Nelson's fucking column, which is where I did them on a CND watch once. So all power to you, all power to all of you, and let us together continue this revolution, which is what it is, because this just didn't happen when I was a girl, and you did it, Deb, and you started it, and look!
Come on. I'ma tell you a story about I rocks out and how they used to ignore me. Go, go back, read it, some of the names will call me. Forget them, show respect to those who did it before me. Me who walked on the stage and started performing. The only girl around the guys started recording, and that was right above the time. They started talking, so then I went to punch and fell into touring. Jumped off the bus and landed in the big city. Saw big bright lights like, wow, Piccadilly. Claps white nights. Whole lot of free, take the girl out the hood. But you can't erase the gritty now, now. Stays with me like I said. All I had was a fiver, a lighter and a ten. When started challenging my mind to the pen.
Done this over the last 100 episodes, every single guest, every single one of you who's listened and told someone, you are the guilty feminist, we are the guilty feminist. This is just not me on my own in a room. And also, can I just say, there is a real, there's firstly, The Guardian, thank you so much, and sorry about the huge fine, we've run over so much. I promise I will pay it personally, relax and enjoy. And you're going to chip it. Okay, everyone's going to chip in on the way out for the fine. And can I just say, there's somebody who gets the guilt of it. Like, basically, without, there's two people without whom I am just some ideas in bed. And one of them is Gina. No. One of them is Gina Dicio. Gina, where are you? Gina Dicio. She's my rock. Gina's my rock. I mean, honestly, she's my rock. And without her, I am nothing. And, I mean, literally, please don't leave me. And the other person who produces the podcast, gets it out, edits it. Jesus, he's a good editor, because sometimes it's just a load of nonsense. And he produces, he gets it out, and he puts up with a lot of shit doing that. And he never complains. He does sometimes, actually, but most of the time he doesn't complain. It's the wonderful Tom Zielinski. Tom? Somewhere. Tom's in the lighting booth, so just give him a wave. Yeah. I think of Tom as my manker. It's like a man anchor. It doesn't really work. I see that now. And a big, huge thank you to those two people, but to everybody. And also, surprise guest Emma Thompson. I mean, seriously, fucking hell. Thank you to the Palladium. Sorry we're late. You've all been amazing. Please leave as fast as possible. We love you. Good night.
You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White, and my very special guests, Kemar Bob, Felicity Ward, Laura Bates, Leila Hussein, Sindhu V, and Emma Thompson, with music from Ali McGregor and Suffrageddon. The Guilty Feminist theme was composed by Mark Hodge and performed live by Mark and the Suffrageddon Band. The podcast recording engineer was Chris Sharp. Live sound was by Autograph. Thanks to Michael Harris, Sophie Kinsella, Bridget Mohammed, everyone at Guardian Live, and everyone at the London Palladium. For more information about this and other episodes, check out guiltyfeminist.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.